faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... Say it again. Faith comes by and by the... Now, if you don't have physical hearing, this means our spiritual ears, doesn't it? Because it doesn't matter whether you physically hear God or not. You hear him with your spirit. God is a spirit, and we are spirit beings, are we not? I am having a very physical experience in an antique tent now that I'm almost 60, which means that this tent, this body that is all we know, houses my soul and my spirit. This body is going to, it's going to dissolve. It wasn't made to live forever in the fallen state that it's in. And I'm going to get a brand new body, but my soul and my spirit are eternal. Now, I'm probably going to look like I do now. I hope I have more hair and a little more pigment, and maybe, you know, he can fix the face and stuff. But that's up to God. But I think we're going to know each other. We're getting new bodies. So we hear not with our physical ears. We hear with our spiritual ears. And when God speaks to you, it is called a spoken word. It's called the rhema of God, the spoken word. Are you with me? S-P-O-K-E-N, spoken word. Now, when you hear the spoken, I need somebody to give me some help up here with this. Can you tighten it up so I can actually use this? All right. When Abraham, how many remembered faith that we were on in November with Abraham? Abraham heard God tell him to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah. Do you remember that? How many were here? All right. God spoke to Abraham, who's the father of faith. And he said, I want you to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah. And there I want you to sacrifice him to me. It's found in Genesis chapter 21. Abraham heard God. And he took Isaac up to Mount Moriah. Now, we know the story that God did not require him to sacrifice Isaac. But God was giving Abraham the opportunity to pass a test so that God could pass blood covenant to Abraham. And he would be the father of faith. And through Abraham's line, Israel, the Messiah would come that would one day fix everything that's not working. Are you with me? He heard a rhema from God. When I married Jim, I had a rhema from God. I heard God say to me, I've called you to love that man. I can still hear that voice in my spirit. When you hear the voice of God, you don't forget it, and something happens. Faith comes by hearing the word. Rhema is spoken word. Now, that spoken word is what your spirit hears, and it comes from the word of God. So when you and I listen to the word of God, when we hear God's word, his gospel, who can tell me what gospel means? It means good news. It's a Greek word for good news. Something happens in your spirit. You hear the word of God. Pastor Jim begins to speak in a sermon, and you hear something. It goes into your spirit, and your spirit says, yes, I see that. I believe that. It's called faith, and faith rises, and you begin to believe God because you've heard his word, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, the logos is the entire word of God. That's the whole Bible. This is the logos of God. God will take pieces of this logos and he will speak it to your spirit. How many have been in church and pastors or I have been speaking at girlfriends or in church somewhere and something just goes into your spirit and you just know it and you grab it and you know God is talking to you. The Holy Spirit's, let me see. That's the rhema. He's taking a part and speaking that to your spirit because God is a spirit, Jesus said. And he is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is what? His word. So, we are teaching on faith. When I married Jim 31 years ago, it was actually 2 days from now. We went back up to Lake Arrowhead and it was the 100-year snow. We were California kids. We'd never been in snow. We were snowed in. Everything was gone. The heater was gone in the rented house we lived in. There was no food at Jensen's Market. They had to helicopter food in to the community because nobody could get up there. It was the 100-year snow the year that we moved up there. He had no job. They were in construction. All construction halted. He took me to a faith convention on our honeymoon in Anaheim. And I thank God because the most important thing that God has taught me is His Word. And when His Word enters my heart, faith comes. And no matter what's happening, whether it's 100-year snow and you happen to be in construction and you've only got so much money to live on and then there's no money, and you got to look at the weather and you think, my God, we can't build houses in this. But something about faith, you know that you know that you know that you know that God said, I will take care of you. Faith rises and you grab a hold of that promise and you are at peace and you're not letting Satan play racquetball with your brain and you get through that time and you get stronger and stronger and stronger in faith. That's the life of faith. That's why it is so important that I teach this to you. Because maybe nobody has, or maybe this is review for some of you. But when you learn to walk by faith, you have learned how to walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, because the just shall live by faith. He doesn't say the just shall live by logic, the just shall live by our educations, the just shall live by fear, the just shall live by money and by the news and by the everyday circumstances of our culture. He said, no, the just, from the beginning to the very end of time, the just, those that belong to Jesus Christ, shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God wants to speak a rhema, a spoken word into your heart. He wants to comfort your heart. He wants faith to grow in you. He wants you to know that it can change and it doesn't have to be the way it is, because to God, nothing is impossible to those that believe. So if you don't learn how to believe God, then here's what your life is going to be like. You're going to be a really nice person. You're going to have probably some pretty good behavior, because as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are going to learn to behave yourself because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But you're not going to change your world, and you're not going to reach your destiny. Because without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So girls, that's why we're taking faith, dissecting it, looking at it, understanding it, because I've been walking this walk for over 33 years. I'm scratching the surface of faith. And I've had many experiences. I've been in foreign fields. I've been alone in airports, in places you wouldn't want to be. I've been on platforms of some of the largest churches in the United States and in the world. I have seen God raise this church up when we didn't have two nickels to rub together, and we built a multi-million dollar building on faith. I have watched God heal the sick, raise the dead. The blind have seen, the lame are walking, and the poor have the good news preached to them. I have seen this work. I have watched God take my children, who Satan wanted to absolutely destroy. And by faith, we shut the mouths of lions and we rescued them out of the lion's den, and they are all serving God by faith. I've seen God take a marriage that should have split apart, because we are both feisty, strong-willed people. But by faith, we came under divine alignment to the Word of God. And we came under submission to God and His Word. And by faith, God has put together a storybook marriage and a couple that love each other more today than we loved each other when we first got married. And I didn't think that was possible. I've seen God take faith. And I've seen God teach me. And I've seen God do miracles in our lives. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to God must believe that He is, Hebrews 11, 6, and that He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Where did we get the idea that God wants to break our leg to teach us something? You want to break your kids' legs to teach them? Is that how you parent? You want to actually beat them to a pulp till they're almost dead, and that's how you're going to teach them life's lessons? Well, if we, God says, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father give you good things to those that ask? God is a good God. He's not a God that's here to make you sick, break your legs, keep you broke, busted, and disgusted, have your marriages go to hell, have your children not serve God. That's not the work of God. That's the work of Satan. And God has come that we can have life and have it more abundantly. But it's going to take faith. This isn't going to just happen if you think you're just going to walk into Christianity and slither through and just sashay through with some kind of a picnic. You're sadly mistaken. Because there is blood on that book. And there'll be blood in our lives. But there is blood covenant that covers us. His blood that buys every promise he says we can have. But it's going to take faith to grab a hold of his promises. Faith takes that which is desired and makes it real. Faith goes into the invisible and takes that which God has promised and brings it into the material world that we're all living in. Faith. So why am I teaching faith, and why am I going over this and over this and over this? Because in the midnight hour, when Pastor Jim, Pastor Debbie, and the rock isn't around, and you're all by yourself, and Satan comes to torment your mind, your kids are sick, or there's no money to pay the bills, or that man's going to leave, or you're never going to get married, or whatever lie he has told you, whatever your natural circumstances may be telling you, in the midnight hour, when you can grab a hold of faith and say, no, in the name of Jesus, my God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Satan, shut up and get out of here. And you go back to sleep. You see, now you're starting to walk as a woman of God. But it's going to take faith. So we've been studying faith. And this is part 5. That was just my introduction. Because I want to teach you today. I want to go back to what we did. Now, some of you are new and you don't have a clue about what I'm saying. But if you will hang around us, you know, there's an old saying. If you want to know where you're going in the future, look at the people you're hanging out with. Who do you want to follow? Who are you following? See, I want to follow successful disciples of Jesus Christ because I want to follow him because he's going to take me somewhere. I don't want to follow somebody that's not going anywhere. I want to follow somebody that has a vision and a dream and a goal, and they're going somewhere with God. That's where I want to go. So at Girlfriends, we can take our time and we can learn this bit by bit, line upon line, and precept upon precept. And we are going to take our time with faith. And if you get bored with it, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, good, good. Get bored with it. As long as you're walking in it and learning it, get as bored with faith as you can get. But you see, that's impossible because when you begin to walk by faith and not by sight, when you begin to plant your heart in the Word of God and said, God, I believe, therefore I speak. When you begin to understand that you are a believer, that's who you are and that's what you do. I am a believer. That's who I am, and that's what I do. I am a believer. I am a woman of faith. I believe God's word, and I believe God. That's who I am, and that is what I do. What do for a living? I walk by faith and not by sight. I have to breathe faith. I have to eat faith. I have to see faith because I fail when I get back into an atmosphere of unbelief and doubt and a critical spirit and I go back to the flesh, that's when I begin to fail. I can't afford to go back there any more than an alcoholic or a drug addict can afford to go back to the bar or back to the drug dens because they'll fall right back into what they stepped into before. We've been redeemed out of darkness. And we've been brought into the kingdom of God. Now, here's the thing. The kingdom of God has laws. There's a king, the king of kings, and his kingdom, his rule, his reign, his regency. That's what we learn about in Bible college. But the kingdom of God has laws. And one of the laws of the kingdom of God is the law of faith. So, Father, I thank you for the word this morning. I thank you for a clarity of teaching. I thank you that your word has been given to us, that we can hear it and we can receive it with meekness. And that word, that engrafted word in my spirit and in the spirit of my friends, it will have the power to save and to change our lives, our families, our children, our generation, our nation, and our world. So I thank you this morning for the law of faith and for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. May I be clear and concise, and may the word that are in this room, the women of God, may you grant them a spirit of wisdom and of understanding. May the youngest to the oldest, Lord, may the eyes of their understanding be opened, and may they receive a rhema, a spoken word from you today, and may their hearts grab a hold of faith and not let go, in Jesus' name. How many of you are believing God for something? Good, then you're going to need faith. The law of faith, let me just quickly review. Romans 3:27 is where we find the law of faith. Where is boasting then? Paul is actually writing a dissertation, an apologetic on the works versus the law. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. God gave the law to the Jews as a schoolmaster so that the Jewish nation would not fall into complete ruin and that Messiah could come through the Jewish lineage. Because Messiah, Jesus Christ, Christ means God's anointed one. There was one that had to come, because in Genesis 3:15, God looked at Satan and he says, there is one coming born of the seed of the woman, and you are going to bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head. He's going to take back that which you have taken illegally through deception and through betrayal by Adam, the title deed of planet Earth, and he's going to take your kingdom out, but he's going to have to be from the seed of the woman. He's going to have to be legal. Means he's going to have to be all God, and he's going to have to be all man. So there had to be a family. There had to be a family on the earth that Messiah legally could come through to be the sacrifice and the Lamb of God that could buy us back and bring us this thing called grace and bring us into the kingdom of God so that we could be redeemed, reconciled back to God, and restored to who we're supposed to be, sons and daughters, walking in the kingdom of God, walking in the power of God, and walking by faith and not by sight. So the law of faith, he's writing, and he's saying, listen, here's the law. The law was good for two things. It told you what was wrong. No one could keep the law. The law was good, but when you heard it, you were now condemned, because the sin nature of Adam's race, us, could not keep the law. No matter how badly we wanted to, we were incapable because we were sold and enslaved into a sin nature. So the very things we wanted to do were the very things we could not do. Anybody ever experienced that? I'm not going to sleep with that man. I'm not going to sleep with him. You wake up the next morning and you hate yourself. What have I done? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to wake up the next. What did I do? Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hands. Sin nature. So he's writing to the Romans. He's saying the law could not save you. And the law only made you think that you earned God's goodness. I worked for it, therefore you owe it to me. But grace is something completely different. Grace. 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 This amazing word, grace. These pins don't work, but grace. Grace can only be received. You can't earn grace. Grace. God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. Grace, the ability to bring the miraculous in where there's been no chance. Grace, God's power in us to do what his truth, his word will demand of us. Old nature can't keep the law, but when grace comes in and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of grace, when he's on the inside of us and he's depositing grace in my heart when I hear what God says I'm supposed to do. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands. But God, he's wrong. But God, you don't understand. Here comes grace. God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. And grace comes into my life to do what I'm supposed to do. So grace works inwardly to change me. And grace comes outwardly as the power of the miraculous to change my world. Are you with me? Grace comes only from God, and it can only be received. It cannot be earned. And the Jews wanted to earn it. Because humanity likes formulas. Humanity is comfortable when we have something that somebody owes us. But they didn't understand this grace and this love. They didn't understand that God so loved the world that he gave. They didn't understand this agape love that motivated grace and was actually the very foundation of this amazing power that was given to us to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be reconciled, and be restored. They didn't understand that. So they wanted to work for grace. Well, I've got to behave. I've got to do everything God tells me to do. I've got to keep the law. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to wear my skirts here. No makeup. I've got to put my hair in a bun. I can't go to movies. You see, that's called legislating morality. That's the law. And all that does is make two kinds of people. Self-disciplined people love it because they can keep all those rules and they're comfortable in that box. And then there's the rebellious that say, forget it, I can't do it, and off they go. So you create religious people and sinners. But grace says, come in, come in. You can't earn my love, and you can't earn my favor, and you can't earn my power, and you can't earn any of it. I just simply want to give it to you. I want you to be successful. Grace says, I want you to be blessed. Grace says, I want your children to be greater than you've ever been and love me more than you ever dreamed of loving me. And your grandchildren and your children's children's children. That's my desire. Grace comes in and says, you can't do this. You're not capable of this. But you see, I'm the power of God, grace says, and I can work in you. Grace. Grace. But grace must be received. It can't be earned. So Paul is writing, and he says here, where is the boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. What is the law of faith? In Luke 18:27, Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in her heart, but believes those things that she says will be done, she will have whatever she says. Faith. Faith, the law of faith supersedes every other law, except the law of love. When you get in an airplane, what happens? This was last week. The law of gravity. You think, my God, how are we going to get off the air? What goes up must come down. Gravity, the law of gravity, physics. But here comes a higher law, the law of lift. And when you get in an airplane and this amazing law of lift begins to work and aerodynamics begin to work and this wing spread and the speed of the engine and the energy that is projecting, and all of a sudden those jet engines kick up and this massive multi-ton machine lifts up into the air and defies the law of gravity because the law of lift is working. It's the same thing with the law of faith. Well, there's no way. The doctor says you're going to get healed. You've got cancer, and this is a death sentence, so you just go get yourself in order, go get your family in order. That's true. That is the law of gravity. That's what's in my body right now. That's not untrue. But there's a higher law. There's a law of faith. There's a law of faith that grabs a hold of the promise of God wrapped in the blood of Jesus that he purchased for me that says, by his stripes I'm healed. That himself took my infirmities and carried away my diseases. You see, there's promises. There's the rhema, the spoken word of God, those promises that God says I can have. But the only way to receive these promises is the same way that we receive grace, by faith. Because it says in Ephesians, go there with me. For by grace, do we have that? For by Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, do you have that? For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace you have been saved. How? 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 How did you get saved? No. How did you get saved? What? Grace? Grace, right? It's a gift. You couldn't save our, I couldn't save me. But how did you receive grace? How? How? Through faith. Faith is the vehicle that receives grace. Grace is God's power in you to do what His truth demands of you, inward sanctification. Grace is God's sovereign divine power on your behalf to do the job you can't do when you need Him to do it. Outward miracles. But that grace can only be received not by works, not by effort, not by hoping it, not by wishing it, not by trying to be a good enough girl for God. That's not going to get you grace. That's works. God says it's not your works that are going to get this to you. It is something called faith that's going to receive my grace. Faith is the vehicle. It is the receiver of grace. Are you with me? So grace gives us the power to become. Grace gives us the power to become. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew," that's you, "He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's what's happening is you and I are under a transformation. We are changing. "That He might be the firstborn among brethren. Behold," John 3:1-3, "what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." We are becoming. Grace gives me the power to become. Grace gives me the power to be what I've never been. Grace gives my life the ability to do what God has ordained me to do. Grace comes into my life and takes a woman that was living in one room with an 8-year-old daughter that had a drug habit, that had too many men in her life, that had screwed her life up. Grace comes in and takes a man, a young man that had failed at baseball, failed at business, failed at marriage. And grace comes in and takes these two broken mess screw-ups and says, "If you'll believe me, I will give you the grace to fulfill your destiny, and I'll change your world if you'll believe me." Grace gives me the power to become what I could never be without God. Grace. 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 Love gives us the passion to obey, because if you look at the diagram, here's grace. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your part when you can't do it, is received by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith works, is energized by agape love. So love is the fuel for my faith. And faith is the receiver for the grace of God. And the grace of God is the miracle working power that you need and I need in my life. Are you with me? The law of faith. So, last week we covered this in intricate. Jessie said there were kids at her table, new Christians that didn't get what I was saying. New believers, you're going to go, shoo, don't stop listening to the word. Listen, I went to a faith convention. I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't agree with them. I didn't like it. But my husband made me listen. He said, "Shut up with your religious stuff, honey. Listen to what they're saying. Look at their lives. They've lived this." And as I shut the religious mouth of my old stuff that I'd been taught, well, God will break your leg to teach you something. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Well-meaning teachers in my life, in a denomination I grew up in, but they didn't understand faith. Faith to them was a noun. Faith was who I believed in. They didn't understand that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things you do not see. There is the noun, yes, who I believe in. But then there's the verb of faith that goes to work on the Word of God for my everyday life. Girls, are you hearing me? If you'll grab a hold of this, it'll change your life. It will change your children. It will break off every generational curse that has been passed on from mother to daughter to father to son. It will stop poverty in your life. It will stop having children out of wedlock. It will stop having a spirit of strife and confusion. It will actually transform you from the inside out. And suddenly one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I'm tired of being Satan's racquetball. And you'll realize who you really are, that you are a daughter of God. And you'll begin to stand up and you'll begin to tell the devil what to do instead of him telling you what you're going to do. It's a law of faith. It's a higher law than the natural laws we're living in. Yeah, we're in recession. Yeah, we're jobless, some of us. Yeah, we've lost homes. I've lost millions of dollars in this, quote, recession. So what? It's only money. Listen, money is not God. God is God. Money is a replenishable resource. It's all it is. It doesn't control me. I'm supposed to control it. We're just in a parenthesis, that's all. But we're walking by faith because we are believers. That's who we are, and that's what we do. We believe God's word. So grace gives me the power to become. Love gives me the passion to obey. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, talking again about the law versus a Gentile race that didn't understand the law. Jews were circumcised as a sign of the old covenant. Gentiles were outside the blood covenant of God in the Old Testament. They were called Gentiles. They were outside of God's grace. Remember, the Jews were there to bring Messiah in. Messiah has come. He has gone to the cross. He's been raised from the dead. And he is bringing both Jew and Gentile back to himself to make out of the two one new man. So making peace and reconciling and redeeming and restoring humanity back to the Father, because we are sons and daughters of God. And this is kingdom business now, because there's an enemy of our soul. There's an enemy on the earth. The battle is over human souls. Don't kid yourself. Over your children and your husbands. Over your family and your mothers and your fathers. Over your neighbors. The battle is raging. Will he find faith on the earth when he returns? Will he find women that are willing to war and willing to believe him and stand their ground? Faith. Faith works by love. Agape. It works by love. Listen to what God says. Faith works. It's energized. This is the fuel for this. When I realize I'm loved, love comes to me and I receive it. God, I don't understand it. I don't deserve it. I'm unworthy. But you love me so much, you died for me. Love comes to my heart. Faith rises. It's how we get saved. We hear the gospel. We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouths. It's the same thing with the rest of your Christianity. When you realize how much you're loved, the response is to love back. Is it not? You see, this is not a religion. This is not works. This is a relationship of love, a passion that says, because I love you, I see what you've done for me. There is no way I want to embarrass you. I want to make you look bad. Lord, I just want to learn how to serve you and obey you and keep your ways. That's when love begins to respond back to God. And that obedience works faith. It fuels your faith, love. Now we're going to look at that. Grace gives us the power to become. Love gives us the passion to obey. Faith receives, takes delivery of grace, and grace gets it done. That was last week. Now, how do I apply this in my own life? I'm going to give you three things this morning. Number one, and look at your note. There's grace, there's love, and there's faith. Love works my faith. Faith receives the grace. Grace gives me the power to become. The power to be changes my life. Grace cannot be received by works. It can only be received by faith. So how do I apply this in my life? The law of faith. Number one, I'm going to have to see myself changing. I'm going to have to see myself changing. Has anybody ever said to you, you'll never change? Has life ever said to you, your circumstances will never change? It'll always be the way it is. How about this one? It is what it is. Hear that a lot? It is what it is. But you see, faith says it is whatever God says it is. And grace says it is what I want it to be from the voice of God. I've ordained good works for you to walk in. I've ordained that you be changed from glory to glory, Deborah Copere. I've ordained how you're supposed to live out your life. My grace is more than enough for you, but you've got to be number one. See yourself changing. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is huge. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's male and female, that's young and old, that's rich and poor, that's educated and uneducated, that's somebody that is actually riddled with addictions and somebody that is the most disciplined person you've ever met. Anyone is anyone. Any race, any nation, any culture, any circumstance, any age, any color, anyone. Whether you are sick or whether you are well, whether your body has physical damage and you're challenged, or whether you are healthy and whole, anyone. That's everybody. Level playing field. Hear what God says. If anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Past tense. Behold, look and see. All things have become new. I've been walking with God for years. Every time I read this, I get chills. I get chills. Because every season of my life, there's new challenges. Every season of my life, the enemy is there to tell me what I cannot do. Every season of my life, something raises its head up and says, no, you can't have it. You can't be that. You can't see that. You'll never. Because the enemy lies and he doesn't know how to do anything but lie. And that is his arsenal, is deception. And God says, if you will realize that grace gives you the power to become, that grace is received by faith and faith works by love, your passion for God, your obedience to God, then you can be whatever God wants you to be. And you can go wherever God wants you to go. You can see your family restored. You can see your children healed. You can see yourself married. You can see yourself successful. You can see your bills paid. You can see your husband working, because old things have passed away. All things have become new. Anything, Jesus said, anything is possible to those who will believe. So what's in your life? What's saying no? Doctor's report? Checkbook? Relationship? You see, there's a law of faith working here that receives the grace to change it. But I'm going to have to be willing and understand that I can change. I'm not who I was, and I'm not who I'm going to be. I am changing. I am constantly changing. No matter what your relatives or your friends say about you, what your parents say about you, what your husband says about you, what your kids say about you. You can change. All things have passed away. You don't have to be who you used to be. You can be, and you're supposed to be, a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You haven't even discovered who you are yet, because you're a daughter of God and he's got plans for your life. Number two, if I'm going to apply this in my life, I'm going to receive the grace by faith and let love work my faith. I'm going to have to, number two, keep my love supply full. I'm going to have to keep this full, because this is the fuel for my faith. This is huge. This is huge. This is the gasoline in your car of faith. And when you're on an empty tank, your faith isn't going to go anywhere. Oh, you'll still be a Christian, but you're not going to be seeing things change. So what does it mean to keep my love supply full? So glad you asked. 1 John 4, 18 through 21, Message Bible. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he cannot see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. How do I keep my love supply full? I got to love God. How do I love God? I do what he says. If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. Proof is in the pudding. And you love people. I did not know how to love people. I thought I loved people. I didn't know how to love people. I actually didn't like people. Either did Jim. We were very critical people. Exhorters in a fallen state are critical, judgmental, and gossips. Exhorters in a redeemed and restored state are preachers of the gospel, encouragers, and speakers of the encouragement and the wisdom of God. You see, we've all been corrupted by sin. We've got to go from the corrupt to the restored. It's a process. I am in process. I'm learning how to love people, scratching the surface. Scratching the surface. But when I said, Lord, I want to love people like you love people, 30 years ago, I had no idea that God was going to take me on a journey where people would hurt me, judge me, reject me, talk about my husband, and make us want to just run and hide forever from ever being around people again. Because you see, when you say, Lord, I want to learn how to love people, he takes you seriously. He says, now you're growing up. Good. Come on. Let's go. And you know how you learn how to love people? When you're not loved. It's easy to love the people that love you back. The sinners do that. But how do I really love people when they hate me, when they judge me, when they judge the color of my skin, or they judge the way I talk, or they judge the way I dress, or the way I speak, or the way I am, which I can't help. I'm changing, but this is who I am. What do you do when people write you letters and say your husband's going to have his legs cut off and he's going to get cancer and die because he's a false prophet? What do you do when you live on a small mountain and the church wants to run you out of town when all you've done is preach the gospel, but they don't want to live by faith? What do? You learn how to love them. And God gave us a prophecy when we left our first church. And he said, you are getting wool on your backs and I am sending you back to the sheepfold. And you're going to need mercy and you're not going to receive it. So when you come again and hold a shepherd's rod in your hand, you will learn how to give mercy to my people. That's why the rock is what it is. It's because it was born out of heartache. It was born in tears. Kleenex wasn't because of runny noses. It was because we had broken hearts. And God said, if you'll learn how to love the broken and love the unlovable and love the ones nobody wants, I'll teach you how to love people. And you see, God says, if you're going to grow up in love and you're going to realize that love is a fuel for your faith, then we're going to have to learn how to love people. That means we stop judging people. Huh. Stop it. Today you can stop it. Today you can stop judging women. Today you can stop looking at what they wear and what color skin they have or who their husband is, who it isn't, or what they've done or what they haven't done or how they speak or how they talk. We can stop that right now. Because the judge is God, not us. I don't know what you went through. I don't know how you lived. I don't know who taught you what. I have no right to judge another man's servant, for his father will cause him to stand, it says in Romans chapter 14. All I know is that I am to know no one anything except to love them. And that's agape love. Personal self-sacrifice. Your needs at my expense. Lust, Satan's kingdom, says my needs at your expense. But God says in the kingdom of God, what fuels your faith is when you begin to walk in the love of God. And you begin to love people where they're at, not where they're supposed to be. All of a sudden now, that's just fuel for your faith. And your faith reaches up and grabs grace. Beth just wrote me a letter. She's in Uganda at Watoto. She was in our media department. She says, I know why I'm here. I'm taking care of 70 babies. She says, I was in the media department, Pastor Debbie, and everybody would say, good video, Beth. Really neat. Pat me on the back. Say, oh, you're funny. Your family's funny. She says, but here I am at Watoto. Second week here, she says, I've changed 30 diapers, and nobody says to me, oh, you've got great diaper-changing skills. She says, I know I'm here. I'm learning how to be a real servant, how to love those that can't love me back, how to serve God in the trenches. She said, I realize now that God is making me first, and then he'll show me what I'm supposed to be. You see, we're under construction, and we're on a journey of learning how to love people. So how do I fuel my faith? People. I don't judge. People are safe in my atmosphere. When they come into my presence, they know they're not going to get judged. They're not going to get gossiped about. When they leave, I'm not going to talk about them. What they tell me will be in private. They can trust my heart. It's called being safe with people. It's part of loving people. It means that I forgive quickly. I release the right to punish. Someone's done me wrong. Instead of holding on to that resentment and holding on to that need to punish, I release it because I'm dead. My life is hidden Christ. Now I'm learning how to love people. That's part of loving people. That fuels your faith. So all of a sudden now, when you start to act like that and live like that, you can believe for your marriage because you're loving that man when he's not lovable. When you want to ditch him and get a divorce, all of a sudden, love grabs a hold of your heart, and all of a sudden, it grabs your faith, and faith reaches up and grabs grace, and God gives you the power to become the wife you need to be through the session that you're in until he changes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I got to stop. One more. Number three, I got to use my faith to receive grace. Oh, listen to me. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Whatever. Whatever is born of God. The whatever is you and me. I am a whatever. It should say whoever. It's talking about us. For we are born of God. And whatever is born of God will overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It is your faith that is fueled by your love for God and for people that reaches up and grabs grace that overcomes every circumstance and every situation and every trial in your human heart that has to switch over and change. Now listen, what are some hindrances to grace, to receiving faith? Oh, three things. We talked about it at our table last week. Why can't I receive this? Why is my faith not strong? Well, maybe you're not loving people. Maybe you need to start getting in unforgiveness and saying sorry a lot and stop judging and stop gossiping and being safe. But there are some things that will hinder your faith from receiving grace. I wrote three things down because I heard them at my table. Guilt. Guilt because I'm being blessed and nobody else is. My friends aren't. I feel guilty about the blessing of God. I don't deserve it. Of course you don't deserve it. You can't earn it. It's received. Maybe God wants to bless you with a great husband. Maybe he wants to bless you with a great job. Maybe he wants to say to you, watch and see, you're a living testimony to others, not to brag and boast about what God's done. And aren't I special? No. But so people can look at your life and they can say, I want what she's having. Unworthiness. A sense of unworthiness will stop your faith. I'm not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. We'll never be worthy. That's why it's grace and it's not works. You can't earn it. Remember I started out with this? You can't earn grace. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I can only receive the gift. I can't earn it. I'll never be worthy. I'll never deserve what he wants to give me and what he has given me in heaven. I'll never deserve that. But I receive it by faith. Unworthiness will stop your faith. When you're constantly thinking you don't deserve it. And you know what? Sometimes you came from these performance-oriented families, you know, where you had to behave and then you were approved of. And if you did good enough, then daddy and mommy rewarded you and you were the beloved. But if you were bad, forget it. You were rejected. But you see, God doesn't do that. God's not a performance God. God's a God of faith. He says, I want you to believe me. Sometimes the most unworthy times in your life, God's going to bless you just to show you that he loves you. And sometimes he'll ask you to do something for him when you really don't feel like doing it. You've just had a fight with your husband, and here comes somebody that needs a prayer of faith. But you see, it's not based on your behavior. It's based on your faith, which works by love. If you can get off of you and get on that person that's sick and say, oh, Father, this child doesn't need to be sick because you've purchased their healing. Oh, Lord, it's not what I've done. It's what you've done. Because of Jesus, Father, heal in Jesus' name. You see, unworthiness will stop faith. Of course, we're unworthy. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, but he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's what he's done, not what we believe. And the last one that'll hinder your faith is sin consciousness. What is sin consciousness? It's where you're always aware of what a sinner you are. You were a sinner. You are now saved by grace. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he doesn't want you to go back and rehearse that attitude, that sin, what you did. That spilt milk, it's forgiven. You've got to move on. If you've asked God to forgive you, you are forgiven. And sin consciousness will stop the ability for you to love God and believe that he loves you, that fuels your faith, that reaches your grace. So guilt, unworthiness, and sin consciousness will stop your faith cold. Did you get something out of today?